keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you. I'm doing
it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti Media Radio. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to the show. Make sure you bookmark us here on UCY.TV so you don't forget to catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Got a bunch of stuff going on here and a bunch of media hype and all that good stuff. You know how it goes. Trying to get DB on the show now because we're once again having a little bit of trouble getting him on, but it's nothing new. So also want to give a quick shout out to our intro music there, Ponder and XL and the awesome music they're doing here in locally here in San Diego, and Ponder's coming out with a new album soon, so we're gonna have him back on the show to talk about that, talk a little bit of politics with him because he is also a bit to the anti-establishment side, so to speak, kind of like we are, which is always good to have some musicians that are on the same page because you know, we can't win this fight strictly with news. It's got to be a cultural, it's got to be a, you know, a worldwide cultural transformation, in my opinion. We can't just, you know, we can't just try to defeat this monstrous machine by writing articles, even though that helps a lot. Having music involved in this whole movement is a great way to expand our reach and to reach people that maybe typically wouldn't be receiving our content or anything like that. If you guys know anybody, anyone listening tonight, if you know anyone that you think, any musicians that you think would kind of be compatible with our message and stuff, feel free to send them our way. And we're going to start, in the coming weeks and months, we're going to try to start featuring more musicians, maybe have a break in the middle of the show, play a cool song, maybe have an interview with some musicians that can talk about the message and talk about what's been going on and all that good stuff. And now I'm joined on the show with my co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Just trying to keep warm in the Midwest. It's cold, been cold the whole time, so it's a little, way different from where we live, man.
Well, that's one good thing about Southern California. Even though we have a horrible government, we do have nice weather, and that's always something to keep us kind of optimistic in this world of horrible things going on.
Yeah, although, of course, they're trying to legislate everything to death now, too. I just read that the $500 fine for watering your lawn is going to go into effect. And this is on top of a 18-cent gas tax they're going to put on us to fund all the Obamacare 11 million uninsured. So, yeah, man, I'm looking at the Midwest kind of actually as the place to be because just the economics of the coast are starting to change, man. And I think everybody's starting to see that you're living in a place where the environment's kind of like not conducive to getting things you need to live easily. It's going to just go up and up in price.
Yeah, that is one thing that passed, I think, yesterday. I heard about it this morning. They're putting these major, major restrictions on water use, which, in a way, I kind of understand because we're lacking water big time in Southern California. In a way, it's somewhat of a manufactured problem because these guys could have taken care of our water situation a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the desalinization plant was, you know, basically something thought up in the 70s and the 80s, and they thought the Colorado River was going to supply all the water we'd need forever. I mean, that's just the kind of short-sightedness that happens with big government. If you let, like, the private industries take care of things, we'd probably have a little bunch of little mini plants all over Southern California.
It's a real possibility, and you know, that's one of the things that we got to keep in mind because it is kind of like a lesson to be learned for us that we can't be relying on these guys to be providing these services and stuff.
They don't care. I mean, they got their reserves. That's the thing. Is the wealthy are never really going to care because they'll just buy whatever they need, and we got to find a way to take care of ourselves. This is just coming through now, you know? It's going to get worse, as long as we allow these people to keep providing for us.
Yeah, and we're going to have, like, water cops walking around. I know in San Diego, they got, like, they said that they have 10 employees that are going to be enforcing this stuff. Now, something like, you know, if your address ends in an odd number, you can water on these days. If it's an even number, you can water on these days. You can water between these hours of the day and all this stuff. And they're going to come around and slap you with fines if you get caught watering. And now, apparently, there's a new app, which is like a snitch app, where people can snitch on their neighbors through this water app and tell the government, hey, this person's using a bunch of water and stuff. And that's pretty horrible, man. It's like turning neighbors against each other. And then when someone gets reported, he's gonna be distrustful of all of his neighbors and stuff. So, you know, it's not a good situation.
No, nope. And it's completely avoidable. It's a sham because they're going to use the environment. It's the only thing they got left. They've tried to manufacture a war. It failed. They've tried to get people to riot. It failed. The only thing left now would be environmental subjugation. And the only way to get around that is just doing it yourself, doing everything yourself.
Yeah. Coming together at the community level to take care of your needs. We talk about it all the time, community electrical co-ops, where if you produce an excess of electricity, well, then you can produce water. Because you can extract water out of the moisture that's in the air, that's present in the air. Or if you live on the coast, you can set up a desalination on a small scale, whatever. There's ways of doing it, bringing water in. One thing is clear, we can't rely on the government to do it, and they've done a horrible job, and now we become criminals if we use water when we're not supposed to. Now, we got a bunch of news today. I want to go over first this event I just came from, in fact. I just got back to the studio about 15, 20 minutes ago. But I was down in City Heights here in San Diego, and there was an action for the National Day Against Police Brutality here in San Diego. And there was events taking place all over the country. In fact, possibly the world. I'm not sure about that, but I know for sure all over the country. And it was awesome, man. A bunch of good speakers, different diverse backgrounds, different people that were all coming together to say, hey, enough is enough. We're tired of the police brutalizing us, especially when especially when you don't fit the fabric of society. If you don't, I mean, even white people get discriminated against if they don't fit the fabric that they give you, the mold that they give you. If you don't look it, you know, if you're wearing a beanie or you're sagging your pants, anything like that, they'll pull you over and hassle you. Because these guys are trained, they're literally trained to stereotype. And it's even worse if you're a minority, if you're brown, if you're black. I mean, it just gets worse and worse. And this is something, and it's pathetic, really, that we have to have a holiday against police brutality. That's how bad it is. We literally have a holiday now that is against police brutality. I can't believe that.
Yep, and they're out here marching today at the women's prison. They went down to the square over here in Cleveland, and you know, this is also a place where they have their fair share of violence. And I happened to see a guy wearing a shirt that really, it kind of broke it down for me. You know, the show Orange is the New Black. Well, his shirt said Broke is the New Black. And he's kind of right, man. There's going to be a war on the poor because people figure that with everybody else struggling and barely making ends meet, they're going to let it slide. And I tell you what, if you're working right now and you have a place to live and food to eat and you see homeless people getting marched off to a FEMA camp or something like that, it's only you're only one paycheck away.
Yeah, man, and there's multiple stories this week of people getting killed by the police. Now, one stat that I heard today from one of the speakers down at the action, and I know it's true, I've read it online before as well, a black man is killed by the police once every 28 hours, and that is absolutely, that is absolutely horrible, and we can't stand for this crap anymore, and it's time to stand up. And you know what? There was a lot of people there, man, at that action. There was a big, diverse background, all kinds of different people from all different groups, and they all came together, and everyone's like, yeah, you know, we're tired of it. And one woman, I wish I would have got back to the studio in time to get the audio ready, but one woman said it straight up. It's time to police ourselves. You know, it's one thing, like, it's true, the cops are horrible, but on the other side of things, we got to start taking more responsibility for ourselves as well. And not only that, but come together and form our own police apparatus, a community-based police apparatus. And we've talked about this before. There's no need to have the government in here in our communities telling us, hey, what you can and can't do, locking people up for smoking weed and doing coke and whatever. We need to step up to the plate and say, you know what? We don't need you guys anymore. Thanks, but no thanks. We're going to take care of it on our own. But what we need right now is we need to see this stuff in action so that it can be proven that it works, and we need to be able to refine these ideas, make them better, and put them to use and put them to work. And then I think we'll see a huge drastic drop-off in police-related violence. And then the police, once the police have competition – and they realize, oh, shit, we're all going to lose our jobs in a couple years if we don't start getting our act together. Then guess what? Once they finally have competition, once they have some kind of accountability, then they're going to start finally say, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. We're not going to beat people up. We're not going to profile. We're not going to pull you over just for having rims on your car because your car's lowered down. You're driving a Honda. I mean, around here in South Bay where I'm at in San Diego, one of the biggest reasons to getting pulled over is having like one of those lowered Hondas, you know, those rice rockets or whatever they call them. And when I used to drive an Acura Integra when I was in high school and stuff, dude, I would get pulled over all the time. Now that I have a plain-looking Nissan Sentra that looks like crap, but it doesn't look conspicuous at all, I never get messed with on the road anymore because it looks like a grandma's probably driving that car. You know, but back when I wasn't driving a car like that and I had a little Integra that I kind of fixed up and stuff when I was working in high school, I was getting pulled over all the time, man. And that's when I got my wet and reckless, which was almost like a DUI, even though when I blew a .02, but the fact was I was 20 years old. I wasn't 21, so technically it was illegal. And I got a slap on the wrist and all that stuff. It's because I got profiled. And you get profiled for your car. You get profiled for the way you dress. You get profiled for the color of your skin. And I think the country is ready to say, you know what, screw that. We're done with it.
Well, it's pre-crime. You know, what are we going to do? Is it going to get to the point where a computer algorithm looks at your social media content and charges you for a crime you're going to commit in the future? Are we at the point where that profiling is going to take on a sci-fi meaning? Because they can read your license plate without even looking at it now. The car does it automatically. Soon the car is going to have facial recognition automatically. We don't need this overreach. If we had a guy every 1 or 2 miles in a trailer, and he had an armed partner, and he was watching a drone patrolling around the neighborhood, what's the difference between a cop car going around? The difference? Cop cars pull over people all the time and shoot them. With a drone, there's a huge difference, man. We got to go back to a high-tech passive policing that we control. It's not even citizen boards that are going to have accountability. We have to own the police department. We have to own the company that is the police department. It cannot be publicly funded because they're abusing it.
Yeah, and also there's no accountability, man. We have zero accountability with these cops. I mean, how many times do they get away with killing people? And then when they do make it, when the police do commit a crime, 9 times out of 10 they're never prosecuted because guess who's in charge of investigating that crime? Well, probably the same police department, if not another government agency. And like in Ferguson, they sent the Fed, you know, the Justice Department, you know, the Feds go in there to invest. Well, that's still part of the government, dude. You think they're gonna? Right. You think they're gonna say, oh yeah, this cop really messed? You think they're gonna undermine their own government? No. The whole thing with government is a psyop. They have us tricked into thinking that there's something that they're not. They have us tricked into thinking they have some kind of moral authority. So I don't care if the Department of Justice is going in to investigate. They're not going to really turn up any dirt either because they don't want to undermine the idea of government.
Right. I mean, they're working for them. It's like they say, government works because the people work for government, and that's the only reason it does. And if people are just not into this ideology of central control anymore, they realize that it's just abuse. There's never an advantage to having a massive centralized system if it comes to anything down to human beings making decisions, because they're going to be affected from the top. They're going to have to follow orders, even though they know they're wrong, and eventually they just lose their conscience. It's brainwashing over time. So we have to get away from that. I mean, we got to have standards for cops that we set. If we're giving these dudes guns and they can kill us with impunity, I want them to be like the top of the crop, not the bottom. Everything's backwards right now on purpose. And we got to basically look at what they're doing, stop it, reverse it, and make it happen. And the only way to do that is public pressure, but it has to be en masse.
Exactly, man. Exactly. It's all about a movement, dude. And that's another thing one of the speakers said tonight is like, hey, it's time to come together like the people are doing out there in Ferguson. If you look at the crowds in Ferguson, well, you got to understand, Ferguson is like 70% African-American. But there's all kinds of people out there coming together from all different backgrounds, all different races, all different economic opportunities, coming together and say, you know what, this is wrong. And that's what we need to do, man, is bring down these – we gotta tear down these walls. To kind of quote Reagan there, we got to tear down all these walls that are dividing us apart. We got to fight injustice together, no matter who you are, where you come from, anything. It doesn't matter. We got to fight it together. Otherwise, we're just going to see a bunch of martyrs, people dying, getting gunned down, whatever it's going to be, because you can't stand alone. You need to have a huge mass of people to really push this thing over the edge to where we can really start getting some accountability, reform, and even in the end, an intellectual revolution.
Because they're going to keep continuing and perpetuating a lie. And Mike Brown is a perfect microcosm. Let me give you a good example. The police performed their own autopsy. They said he had, you know, residue on his hand. There was no residue on the hand when the family hired an independent autopsy, and the police say, well, it was on his clothes. So now you're changing the story. Secondly, the guy had 2 gunshot wounds to the head when he was on his knees. To me, when you're on your knees with your hands up, you're not a threat. How do you charge? You're a threat. But how do you shoot someone twice in the head? See, now the physics are not starting to add up. And I tell you, they took all the ammo off the Walmart shelves pretty much in all of St. Louis. That should tell you something.
You also got the journalist from the Daily Kos, which I don't follow too closely. It's a very, very Democratic-aligned outlet. But they are progressive, which is cool. So, I mean, yeah, they're Democrats and stuff, but at least they're progressives. They're not like Hillary Clinton shills or anything like that. But there was a journalist there that basically got tipped off on some info that said that these guys are preparing for martial law in greater St. Louis and especially in Ferguson. Right. Why would that be? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they're anticipating, and they've been anticipating for a month or more now, that the verdict is going to come in, and they're going to say that this, what's his name, Daryl Wilson guy, the cop that shot Mike Brown, is obviously going to be let off the hook. And the people are going to be extremely, extremely pissed. We thought we saw some crazy stuff going on in Ferguson when this thing first popped off. Well, I think it's going to get a lot crazier when this verdict comes out. And if you look at the leaks of information that are coming out, all signs point that he's going to get let off the hook. And once again, there isn't going to be any accountability. So, you know, this is something that we're going to have to anticipate and keep in mind. And if anybody wants to call in tonight and chime in on this stuff, feel free to call in at 718-717-8296, and you'll go live with us here. Once again, that's 718-717-8296.
I think Ferguson's going to come down to a moment of truth here, Nick, where it's going to be simply riot or recall. If they want a riot, they're just providing a test bed to see how it's going to work for all of us. I don't want that. I want these guys to recall everybody. I want everybody recalled in that community, top to bottom. if you want to shake things up, fire them all. Can you do it? Yeah. Enough people getting mad enough, calling in, complaining, getting signatures. You can recall all these dudes and get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Fire them all. Make everyone lose their career that was involved in this debacle, and it wouldn't happen again. If Darren Wilson got charged, there wouldn't be any of these police brutality things anymore. And this is where we want to get back to that personal accountability for the police, right?
Yeah, man. And then we can take on some Hong Kong tactics where we do some sit-ins and shut down cities and stuff like that. Hey, we got a caller in from area code 845. How's it going? You're on the anti-media. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to talk about the police state and the military-industrial complex.
Sure, man. What exactly do you want to get into?
Well, you know, they are training the military to go against the civilians. I was stationed in Pensacola, Florida, and what they had is they had us doing basically searching bags of people going into Jaguar Stadium, but military in civilian clothes. And it was like a whole scam they had running where they're telling us it's going to pay for our Marine Corps ball. Meanwhile, I'm standing outside of Jaguar Stadium searching people's bags, you know, basically looking through their stuff, working for free. Okay? And also, I have one more thing. I attended a school in Fort Leonard, Missouri, called Non-Lethal Weapons Instructor. I was actually an electrician. They sent me to the school as an MP school. And, you know, they basically told us, this was back in 2000, they told us that riots were coming to the United States. And that they wanted us to go back to our commands. They wanted us to train every Marine that we could train in, you know, non-lethal tactics. So it would be like arm bars, wrist locks, pressure points, takedowns, pepper spray, rubber bullets, beanbag bullets, handcuffing, things like that. So, you know, they're definitely building up. There's no doubt. You know, they're buying hollow point ammunition, like, in bulk. Even though you can't use it during wartime, you're only allowed to use full metal jacket. So, you know, this stuff's pretty crazy. It's definitely happening. There's no doubt there.
Yeah. Wow, man, that's some enlightening info there. I didn't even know about that. I saw a manual that was leaked out the other day from the Army, which basically talked about crowd control, and they even hinted at lethal force in that. Now, I do have a question for you. I agree with you that there is going to be some big-time unrest coming and riots and all that stuff. Why do you think that is going to happen, and why do you think the government is anticipating that?
Well, the government knows that they're getting rid of the Constitution. I mean, you know, they're getting rid of lawful, legal government with all this spying, with all these drones. They're declaring that they can attack citizens with drones. It doesn't matter if it's on American soil or not. Why are they doing it? They're doing it because they did a coup d'etat in this country. You know what I'm saying? And they had a silent coup where they overthrew the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And, you know, basically the rule of law is out the door. You know, they're committing, they're taking us to war illegally. They created ISIS. They created Al-Qaeda. They created 9/11. You know, how they make the buildings fall down. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I can't tell you why they're doing it. It could be, I think it's depopulation.
Yeah,
man.
I mean,
it's definitely crazy.
There was a website, I can't remember what it was, that came out, somebody leaked it, I guess, and it said by 2025, the government anticipates us only having 69 million citizens. What does that tell you?
Yeah, man, I think these guys, if you guys are familiar with General Wesley Clark, we played some audio from him, a couple shows back. Yeah, 7 countries in 5 years. I mean, they're a little behind schedule now. But he said exactly what you said, is that there was a policy coup. There was a coup in this country, and these neocons, or whatever you want to call them, neoliberal, whatever, they're all in the same boat now. They took over this
country.
Fascist. Republicrats, is that what you said?
Republicrats. Democrats are Republicans. Republicans are Democrats. Coke is Pepsi. 7-Up is Sprite. Home Depot is Lowe's. Staples, Office Depot. It's all about these false options. If you have one party in this country, that's called a dictatorship.
Exactly,
you know, so we've got to fake the two parties.
Exactly, and I agree with you. And now, I asked you about why, because I have my own opinions on it, and my opinion is that these guys understand what they've done to the economy. They understand that fiat currencies are finite. They understand that fiat currencies only have a, you know, they're mortal. They only have a short-lived life. I think we mentioned it last show, the average lifespan of a fiat currency, which is what the U.S. dollar became back in 1971 under Nixon, the average lifespan of a pure fiat currency is only 37 years. So, I mean, we're due. Our economy is due for hyperinflation. We're due for a massive, massive debasement. And
well, we still have the petrodollar. So until they get rid of the petrodollar, we're going to maintain the world reserve currency. You know, so they just keep spending. They're spending $1 million a minute on war. They're telling us they're taking us to war to give us better oil prices. We haven't had better oil prices. Three-quarters of the oil imported into this country goes to the war machine. So, you know what an M1 Abram tank's jet engine takes? I mean, how much fuel that absorbs? You know what I'm saying? A hell of a lot more than your average rice burner car, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I find so ironic when Obama gets on TV and in front of the UN and all this stuff, and he's like, hey, we need to address climate change, we need to address global warming, we need to cut back our carbon emission. Well, yeah, you know what? If you actually believed in what you were saying, you would look at the military, because the U.S. military is the single largest polluter in the world. And I'm not talking about China. China overall is bigger of a polluter. But the single largest entity in the world that pollutes is the U.S. We use up all the oil. And now let's go ahead and segue right into this next topic here, because you mentioned the petrodollar, and we might as well bring up ISIS and the whole thing that's going on over there in Iraq and Syria, because let's not mince words here. This is 100% about the petrodollar. That's all it's about, because we've mentioned it here on the show before. This whole thing, Syria, Ukraine, all of this tension is all about cutting Russia out of Europe and establishing the petrodollar for the next 50 years or whatever it is that these guys are trying to do. They're trying to connect pipelines from Saudi Arabia and other U.S. quote-unquote allies to feed Europe, and they're trying to cut Russia out of Europe, because right now, at this point in time, Russia supplies 70% of the fuel, of the natural gas, to Europe. And that is a huge part of their economy, and that is what Ukraine is all about. Now, if we think about Ukraine, what is Ukraine? Ukraine is the bottleneck of all the pipelines. Almost all the pipelines that come from Russia have to go through Ukraine. So that's why NATO is making a power play for Ukraine, obviously. Now, we got to think about ISIS. Why are we bombing in Syria? Why do we have beef with Assad? Why did we try to overthrow it? Why were we talking about overthrowing Assad a year ago, and now we're talking about overthrowing the enemies of Assad? Well, that's a pretty simple equation. The pipeline that these guys want to build that is going to cut Russia out of Europe has to go through Syria, because that's the only route, because everywhere else is Kurdish land, and Kurdish land is mountainous. You can't build a pipeline over the mountains. You got to build it through mostly flat land. They've already got all the infrastructure built in Turkey to distribute this oil into Europe. And this is the grand scheme of things. This is why Wesley Clark was talking about why we're overthrowing seven countries. It's because we're trying to preserve the petrodollar to stave off this economic collapse that in one way or another eventually is inevitable. And now, before we jump into ISIS, before we jump into the Middle East, I just want to tie one more story into this before we move on. Tesla. The Michigan is now banning Tesla cars. I think that's the third or fourth state now that's saying, oh no, you can't sell Tesla cars in our state. One of them is Texas, which is run by Rick Perry, which is supposedly a small government guy, which completely doesn't make any sense. You got Michigan.
Well,
I think you got New Jersey.
So
I mean, these corporations are all in on this. They're all in on this. It's not just the government doing a power play on its own. No, the corporations are in on it too, because if you look at Michigan banning Tesla, who's the biggest person behind them banning Tesla? General Motors. Who's the biggest U.S. Auto manufacturer? General Motors. Who's the biggest auto manufacturer in the world? General Motors. Them and Toyota kind of trade off there. but it's General Motors. So it's a corporate government collusion. We talk about this all the time. I think the suppression of Tesla, and it's kind of ironic also, because the whole time that we've suppressed Nikola Tesla's technology, you know, the guy from right. 100 years ago that could have provided us all with, you know, almost free energy and stuff. I mean, it's so ironic that now we suppressed Tesla 100 years ago. Now we're suppressing Tesla again. I think it's all tied in with this idea of back in the day, 100 years ago, it was about profit. Today, it's about profit, but it's mostly about the petrodollar. What do you guys think about that?
And control. I'll let the caller take that one. I think he's got a lot of insight.
I got a lot to say. I was an electrician in the Marine Corps, like I said. They sent me to that military police school. If you give me motion, I can give you electricity. So Tesla's greatest invention was that he could transmit electricity without a wire, but they had to suppress that technology because we would understand what free energy actually means. Energy is around us all over the place. If you got a tractor trailer going down a hill, it had to pay the gasoline to get up the hill. There's no reason they can't recover that energy going back down the hill. And I'm not talking about friction brakes. I'm not, you know, you give me motion, I can give you electricity. I just want to go back to ISIS real quick. We created ISIS. We wanted to go into Syria. They wouldn't. There was a huge backlash about going into Syria. So we created the revolutionaries, kind of like we did with the Mujahideen when Russia invaded Afghanistan. And what we did is when we left that country, we left all of our equipment behind, okay? Because that's what we did in the first Gulf War. We buried a lot of stuff. We burned a lot of stuff. We destroyed a lot of stuff. But a lot of stuff was buried out in the desert. You're seeing these guys, ISIS, they're driving around. They're using military, our equipment. I'm watching ISIS guys shooting tall weapons. We funded the Free Syrian Army. There's pictures on the internet of McCain going over there talking to them and shaking hands and taking pictures with terrorists. Okay? So, you know, what do you do when you got an army that's on the Syrian border and it's trying to get into Syria, but it can't get into Syria because Assad forces are stopping it? I know what you do. You just fight in another direction. You create the problem. You create the reaction through the news, and the solution is bomb Syria. Who do they start bombing? They don't bomb ISIS in Iraq. They're bombing Syrian targets. They're bombing Syrian military targets so that when ISIS turns around, it can go back into Syria, no problem, because the United States has already taken that out.
Oh, I thought you were. Oh, okay.
Hey, we have another caller on the line. I think that's Manny there. How you doing, Manny?
Okay.
Hey, Manny, you there?
Yeah, Nick, how you doing? This is Manny, giving you a live report out here. Man, this march has been really good. We came back. We're really excited. You know, I'm right here. I stepped away from the long noise to just let you know how passionate people are out here. People of all flavors, vanilla, dark chocolate, mocha like myself, you know. Our brothers also, our rainbow brothers are out here. I mean, supporting this, because this police brutality problem, it's your problem, it's my problem, it's everybody's problem. And so I stepped behind here. I'm down here at City Heights in San Diego, in your neighborhood, Nick Park. I'm actually standing right next to Channel 7 News and all that. And so it was really great to see Nick come in the house and all that. Debbie, how you doing, brothers? David Schultz, you know, hope you're on the phone and stuff like that. Yeah, and it's just the passionate that I have for people that are really passionate about making a difference, instead of basically, you know, being stuck to this TV and stuff like that. Shut the damn TVs off. You know, come out here and do, you know, what you need to be doing. Because I'll tell you one thing, the only bad thing about this, that it should have been, this part should have been more packed. It should have been like Acapulco, packed to the max and stuff like that. So that's a live report down here, Nick, and it was really nice to see you in the house, too.
Awesome.
Manny, how are the police responding to this?
Oh, my God. The police were actually pretty cool, because especially at the end, coming back, right before we actually came into the park, right at that intersection in the corner of the library, we were actually in their faces saying, hands off, don't shoot, hands off, don't shoot. And then also, hey, hey, ho, ho, killer, cops has got to go, you know, and stuff like that. So, and they handled it pretty good. They might have not liked it, but they didn't react to it, you know, so that was good.
Hey, Manny, thanks for calling in, giving us a live update. Manny, I actually got to I realized today that this wasn't the first time I met you. I met you at a protest a while back, actually. But Manny's been calling into our show pretty often and listens to our show. It's great to finally meet you, man. Hope you get a chance to come by the studio later tonight once you guys are done.
How late can I be there?
I'll be here pretty late, man, until like midnight.
Okay, my brother says he knows where you're at, so okay. Thanks a lot for the invitation, okay?
All right, cool, man.
Thanks, Manny.
So, yeah, Manny was down there at the anti-police brutality protest that I was just at, and I got to meet up with him, and then I realized that it wasn't the first time I met him. I met him at another anti-police brutality protest a month or two ago when this Ferguson stuff first started popping off. And like he said, he's kind of confirming what I was saying at the beginning of the show, man. It's a mixed bag down there, a bunch of different people. Everybody's standing up together and saying, hey, it's time to end this. Now, back to this whole ISIS thing, this is so important, I think, because a lot of people think that they take it at face value. It's like, oh, yeah, ISIS, they're bad guys, they're terrorists. I was on the drive back from the protest today, I was listening to some conservative talk radio because I listened to it, one, for entertainment value because it's normally pretty funny. Two, I listened to it just to understand what these guys are thinking and the propaganda they're putting out. Now, this host here in San Diego was basically saying, hey, you know, this terrorist attack in Canada, it's a great thing because now Canada's going to jump on board with the war against terror. They're going to join us, and they're not going to question anything that we're doing anymore, which is absolutely insane because Canada has been part of the occupying forces for like 13 years. They joined in 2001. Right. They've been bombing and fighting alongside of us in Afghanistan, Iraq. Now they're back in Iraq again. This is blowback finally coming back and reaching Canadian shores, if it is what they say it is. I mean, there's a bunch of accusations going around that this was a false flag. I don't know. I don't know. But either way, it's what these guys are putting out there is propaganda they're putting out there is crazy. But ISIS, man, we created these guys to fight Assad, to overthrow Assad. And then when they weren't able to overthrow Assad because Russia was propping Assad up, they became the guys that we had to fight now. So now we get to go in there and we're going to, you know, bomb these guys back to the medieval times. And then once we're done with them, we're going to say, hey, well, we're here anyway. We might as well finish the job off, take out Assad. We don't want to make the same mistake that we made before where we left Saddam Hussein in power. Let's finish the job off and finish off Assad. That's what these guys are going to do. That's what they're planning.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt. You know, it kind of pisses me off because I'm from New York. You know, I can't have a pistol grip and a semi-automatic, yet they're giving these guys anti-aircraft missiles like they did the Mujahideen. They're giving these guys tow missiles. They're giving these guys all different kinds of weapons, you know, but I'm a threat to society if I have more than 7 rounds in my magazine. It's ridiculous.
You're a threat to the government. That's the problem. And not even really them. You're a threat to the corporations that tell the government what to do. And I think they realize that, man. There's 80 million gun owners, 300 million guns, probably really a billion. I mean, they're going to have to do something drastic. And when they play their hand, we're just going to have to rise to the call, man. And hopefully we can stem that off. If enough people got angry and just stopped buying into the economy, they're done anyway. That's what I want.
Sorry, guys. I lost audio there for a sec. I'm back, though. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Sorry, I kind of missed what you said there, man. My audio cut out.
Oh, I'm just saying, man, you know, it's getting more and more obvious they're taking it away because they're getting, you know, a little afraid of the serfs rising up like usual. And, you know, we got to break out of the slave mentality here. Anybody that takes guns, it's always genocide after. It's proven through history, and it's not going to be any different unless we don't let them do it.
Soon they're going to want a book burning. We're going to see the night of long knives. You know, we're talking about Ukraine. We're talking about Syria. It's World War III. It's history repeating over and over and over and over and over. I mean, how many countries do you need to be in war before you call it World War III? Canada, United States, Britain, France, Germany, Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, I could just keep going. Syria,
You know Iran's involved. We're going to Iran. Somalia. I mean, I could just list all of the countries that are at war, and we have these beautiful faces on the news, and they tell us everything's great, keep shopping, keep buying, keep doing your thing, but we need to go kill these brown people over here. Oh, wait, no, let's go kill these brown people over here. Hold on, nope, they're not a threat anymore because, you know, we got a McDonald's there and a Walmart. Let's go over here and bomb these people. We say they're terrorists, so let's just drop a bomb on them. You know what I'm saying? And most of the Americans, they just follow along. Most of the Americans are glass parking lot assholes. You know, they just want to nuke the whole place and turn it into a glass parking lot, and they think everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, and it's listen, we're already infiltrated. So if we do something insane like that, expect it to come back on us right away. I mean, I can see immediate blowback, and that to me is the freakiest part about it, because these guys are so psycho, they really don't care about our casualties.
Yeah, man, and I think the caller is exactly right, is that people just don't have the time, and I don't think it's not that they're ignorant, and it's not that they're so apathetic, but we've been driven down into this place now, and like you said earlier in the show, DB, that guy that had the shirt that said, broke is the new black. We've been driven down, and I think by design, to this place where the average family, the average person, the average Joe, the average single mom, I mean, we can't get by anymore on just one job. And if you do, then you're massively subsidized by the government via food stamps or welfare or whatever. If you don't want to take the handout, then guess what? You got to take two jobs. You got to work 18 hours a day, and then that's just to make a measly little rent, you know. And so it's not so much, I think, that Americans are apathetic, ignorant, anything like that. We don't even have the time to think about stuff like that. You know, we're so tired by the time we get done with, you know, work and taking care of the kids, making dinner, if we can afford to make dinner, or picking up McDonald's on the way home, whatever. It's about, do we even have the time to think about why this crap is actually really going on? You know, and there was a great article today from firstlook.org, which is Glenn Greenwald's publication, about talking about what happened today in Canada and why this guy went and was like shooting people up and all that stuff, if we're going to talk about it at face value. And he's the one that made the point. Dude, Canada has been occupying these countries along with us for 13 years. I mean, it's about time they start to get some blowback. And it's like, oh my God, this is horrible. A guy got gunned down in Canada. This is an awful crime. What about the people that get gunned down, or even worse, blown up with drones every single day in the Middle East with NATO backing, with U.S. backing, with Canadian backing? I mean, do these idiots in the media, these idiots in the government, do they really think we're that dumb, or do they know that we're not dumb, and they just keep us spinning in this hamster wheel because they don't want us thinking? They don't want us talking back. They don't want us standing up.
They know that we're dumb. They keep giving us our bread in the circus to keep us dazed and confused. You know, the other guy on the line is saying there's no casualties when we drop a bomb. There is casualties when we drop a bomb, because this country's spending $1 million a minute on war, okay? You and I and our grandchildren, we're already in debt, okay? And our grandchildren's grandchildren are already in debt. You know, each Javelin missile that they shoot costs $80,000, okay? The guy that fires that Javelin missile doesn't even get $80,000 in a year. And the guy that gets killed by the Javelin missile doesn't even make $80,000 in his lifetime, okay? Grandpa, when he stormed the beaches of Normandy and he shot his little bullets, no big deal. It cost a couple pennies. When they drop a bomb, it's $1 million, boys, okay? And you're paying for it. And that's when the revolution is going to come, when the youth stand up and say, we're not fucking paying for your health care. We're not paying for your war debt. We're not paying for you. We're not paying for this. We're not paying for that. I didn't sign on for this. You understand? That's when the revolution is going to come. The youth are going to throw the revolution over the old. That's what's going to happen.
Exactly, so, man. And exactly.
You cannot fight the youth. This Generation X is three times as large as the baby boomer generation.
Yeah, man, and I think we've been making a point about this too, and the way that young people are marginalized constantly on in the media and by the government. I mean, obviously our voice isn't being heard. That's why only 5% of people under 35 are even concerned about the midterm elections. People aren't even concerned with voting right now because they're like, you know what? That shit doesn't work because they don't listen to us no matter what anyways. And then there was a Fox News anchor today or yesterday, last night, something, basically saying, oh, women shouldn't be concerned with voting. They should just be concerned with finding a husband and stuff. This is what they think about us. That's what they think we do. They think we don't give a shit and that we just should be concerned with this petty crap that they're feeding us in the media.
They got paperless voting machines now. They got paperless voting machines. You can hack. Look up the whole Diebold conspiracy if you haven't looked into it. Or they changed the name now. But it doesn't matter. You give me 15 minutes with a little data card, and I can make the poll say anything. You know, it doesn't take a genius at this point. You know, I've been playing with computers since I was a kid. So, you know, you get anybody in there that wants to change the vote, you know, it's got to go. You know, the midterms are big. They're trying to play it off like the Republicans are going to continue. We got to get away from this whole two-party system, Republicans, Democrats, anyways, because they're both going to take us to war, you know. But as far as the midterms, you know, I live in New York. Cuomo's got to go. Cuomo's got to go. So we need somebody else. The midterms are very important right now. We got to get rid of this governor up here. The SAFE Act 2 is going to be coming out where they're saying you're not allowed to have a semi-automatic. You're not allowed to have any kind of magazine. It's all going to be single shot. You know, even if you look at the picture of the Canadian terrorist, you got to see what kind of gun he has because I think it's a lever action from what I saw, the picture that they had of him. So he didn't even have anything. I mean, they had 50 shots fired at him in, like, the course of, like, a minute or two worth of firing. So, you know, this is what they're trying to reduce us to, helpless, you know, they want us pissing our pants and blowing our rape whistles and, you know, basically their victim if they want.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree with you anymore. I mean, I heard I was looking at the video from within the Parliament building, I believe, when the shots started being fired. And if you listen to that first shot go off, I mean, that sounds like a 30-06. It sounds like a hunting rifle. This guy probably had, like you said, a bolt-action hunting rifle, and he was able to get a couple shots off, killed a guy, or took one guy down. That's all he got. And, you know, all he's got is a lever-action, bolt-action rifle. You can fire, like, one shot every, like, 3 seconds. And these cops, these government agents are running around with automatic weapons, and they're just laying these guys down. There was, what, 50 shots fired or something within the parliament? And I guarantee you only one of those, two of those shots was the guy that was actually the shooter. The rest came from the cops and the government agents. I went to
a elusive terrorist that they got in Pennsylvania. They can't even find the guy. He's right down the road from us, where I'm at, and they can't even find this guy that supposedly murdered a cop and seriously injured another one, and they're spending, like, multiple million dollars to try to go after somebody. But if you got shot on the street, you know, they're going to come mop you up, and, yeah, there's going to be a case opened, and, you know, maybe somebody's going to look into it depending on, like, how important you are. But, you know, it all comes down. Look what they did in Watertown after the bombing of Boston, which is considered by some people to be a false flag. You know, so, you know, there was a drill that day, just like on 9/11. And what are these people doing? You know, we got this guy that... They can't even find this guy, and he's in a 5-mile radius. You know what I'm saying? So they think they need all this spying, and they think they need all these RFID chips and all this tracking. And you know, basically, when Hitler comes back, because he's gonna have, he might be a different name, he might have a different face, but his ideological, it's gonna be the same. He's gonna think the same way. And, you know, people are going to die because Hitler didn't have RFID chips and Hitler didn't have all this non-lethal stuff that they have, like tasers. You can't shock a terrorist. You know, we see these pictures of these guys in the prison in Iraq and, oh, they're getting shocked with electricity, you know, but hey, you could shock a citizen with 300,000 volts. You know what I'm saying? They talk about chemical weapons. What's oleoresin in capsicum or OC, pepper spray? I mean, it's chemical weapons. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, all the rules are out the door. All the rules are out the door. And, you know, they need this police state to you know, enforce their agenda, like the coming change. It's already happened. The change is already happening. We see ourselves as, oh, the history books and what they've taught us, what, like, our history is supposed to be. And, you know, basically it's fake. Look at the story of Christopher Columbus, or, you know, what he did, and how we have Columbus Day. And like, that dude murdered all kinds of people. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. It's crazy.
It is, because the Ottomans had discovered this continent by the 1500s, you know, or sorry, by the before Christopher Columbus did, and yeah, we're going to find all this stuff out eventually. They can't keep the lie forever, but the focus is just surviving what's coming, really. Just surviving. Let's get everyone through it, get these guys out of here if we can, and start just taking things back one step at a time.
What's coming? The weaponized Ebola? I mean, it's a different strain that they have in Africa. And what did they do? The Ebola usually pops up in small villages in Africa, and all of a sudden they had a simultaneous Ebola outbreak in two separate cities.
Right.
And then strain over here, you know, now they're telling us, oh, you can't get it by coughing, but then, oh, well, cold weather and droplets, large droplets in the air, you can inhale it, and they have all kinds of fear going on. They're going to be imposing martial law soon. You know what? We're under martial law right now. We just don't have troops in the streets like North Korea.
Yeah, I think they're really, you know, in my opinion, they're really testing the waters and trying to figure out which way to go about doing it, because, you know, in a large extent, the U.S. populace is still kind of unpredictable in a way, just because people are so disconnected, so separated and divided in so many different ways. I think it'll be hard for these guys to kind of stampede us all in one direction, and in a way that's kind of working in our favor. Now, unfortunately, everyone's all divided by a lot of superficial crap and a superficial stuff, ideological. But when we do come together, when we finally do, you know, band together like brothers and sisters like we should, we have to make sure that it's under the assumption that we can't stand for this kind of these kind of fascist ideas that are being perpetuated right now. And I'm sure you've heard of it. I know DB has, about that study that came out of Stanford that basically said the U.S. is an oligarchy. And I mean, in my opinion, oligarchy is no different than a fascism, you know, and that's basically the system that we're in right now, because the corporation, the large money control the government. We are basically the subjects of the government. They own us in a way because of our Social Security and all the stuff that they do with us and the way they control our finances and our credit. And they could make us basically, when it comes to economic things, if the government wanted to, they could make anybody right now in the country, almost anybody, impotent. They could say, oh, well, your credit's done. Your credit cards are done, you know, and so now you can't pay your bills. You can't buy a house. You can't get a car. I mean, we're already in that situation now where they can already impose that on us. And the only people that would be able to deal with that and not get crushed by it are people that are the ones that are saying, you know what, I believe in counter economics. I want to use Bitcoin. I want to do barter. I want to live off the grid and ideas like that. These are the ideas I think that slowly push us closer and closer to this realization that we don't need the government. And sooner or later, we don't need a Federal Reserve System to keep our economy afloat. We don't need a military to back the petrodollar. We don't need a monopolistic electric utilities to keep our lights on. You know, once we can push to this kind of critical mass, I think is the right way to say it. Once we get to this critical mass of saying, you know what, I got a garden growing. We take care of our water needs at the community level. We take care of our electricity at the community level. We take care of our policing at the community level. You know what? I just realized I don't really need the government. And once we get to that critical mass, then there's going to be nothing they can do. But what we have to keep in mind is that all of the stops will get pulled out before we get to that point, whether it's this Ebola scare, whether it's riots in the streets, whether it's inflated food prices, inflated fuel prices, water shortages like what we're dealing with right now in Southern California. They're going to pull out all the stops just to say, hey, look, I guess you guys really do need us. Look, if without us, you wouldn't have any water. And that's what these guys are playing, because they understand that we are getting close to this point of critical mass. We're getting close to the point where people are finally saying, Yeah, we realize it. We don't need the cops anymore. I was at that protest today, and those people, when the lady said, you know what, we need to just police ourselves. We don't need these goddamn cops anymore. Everybody in the crowd started cheering. I mean, people are getting to that point, but they're going to try to scare the shit out of us before we get there. That's what we need to resist.
Look, they control us through fear. They do own us. If you want to rescind your citizenship, you have to request permission and pay a fee. Okay? They have control of us, and you know, you mentioned Bitcoin, and you know, Bitcoin's already, it's already been exposed as a fraud. It's hackable. It's not as safe, and it's a digital fiat currency. You know, who makes Bitcoin? How does a Bitcoin actually get me? You know, are these Bitcoins, like, did somebody have to work for them? You know, we've got to go back to silver. We've got to go back to gold. You know, we've got to, I think the only thing that's going to save this country is libertarian philosophy, you know, of limited government, non-interventionist foreign policy, non-nation building, keeping our nose out of other people's business. You know, but it's not going to happen because we're fighting World War III. So, you know, all of our surplus military equipment's going to the cops because they know what's coming. They know what's coming. They're going to wake the sleeping giant. And these people might be stupid. They might be stupid. They might be sitting in front of their TV watching Friends or playing their first-person shooter. But once they, you know, Gerald Celente says, when you lose everything, you lose it. Okay, and when these people don't have a bread in the circus anymore, and they don't have their television, and they don't have their, or they got a bullet, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It could be anything, and they're going to take to the streets. And this is what's going to happen. You know, they're basically conditioning us for martial law, and we're seeing it in examples like Watertown, and examples like what's going on in Pennsylvania, where you can't go hunting in the woods. You can't, they're canceling Halloween. They're spending multi-million dollars to catch one person that they can't even find with the largest police apparatus ever in the history of humanity, where they have basically international agencies, federal agencies, state and local, with all the spying apparatus that they have. So, you know, this is all conditioning. This Eric Fine guy, I'm not even so sure that he's even real. You know, just like Osama bin Laden, you know, he was real. I mean, the bin Ladens own one of the largest construction companies in the world. You know, they're part of the Carlyle Group, and they're the one that's profiting from all these. I mean, they built our embassy in Baghdad. I mean, they're making all this money. Bin Laden, they couldn't even give us the body of bin Laden. We have all these people asking all these different questions about how the building fall, how come they sold us this story over Pennsylvania when they actually shot the plane down, where's the plane going into the Pentagon? There's so many unanswered questions, and what do they do? They say, we killed Osama bin Laden, finally. Even though many people speculated he died, what did he have? He had some blood problem where he couldn't filter his blood or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he had kidney disease or something.
Kidneys,
yeah.
He was on a dialysis machine, yeah.
Yeah, meanwhile, they throw his body in the ocean. They don't have any pictures or any video. And we get some government official with a piece of paper that says, we have his DNA. We've killed Osama bin Laden. Oh, yeah, and we've also killed SEAL Team 6, too, the SEAL team that supposedly went and got him. So, hey, you know what? It's all good. Go back, go to Walmart, and spend all your money on garbage plastic from China, and go sit in front of your TV and drool while you get, you know, light and sound shot at you. Just sit there like a zombie. You know, they're conditioning us with the zombie apocalypse. You see all these movies, what's that about? Oh, that's about the Ebola scare, where people get Ebola, and, well, hey, the cops had to mow them down because they're going to give us Ebola or whatever. You know, so everything you see on the television, it has a message. And if you just stand back and you look at the message long enough, you can understand what they're saying. I'm telling you, it's not good.
Yeah, exactly, man. Great call, man. We're coming to the end of the show here. I want to throw in a few stats here real quick before we end. America's $7.6 billion war on Afghanistan drugs, opium, failed. Opium peaked this year. It's never been produced more opium in Afghanistan. The war against ISIS is costing us at least $7.6 million a day, over $1 billion so far. It could go up to $1 billion a month if they make this war any bigger than it is. Keep that in mind, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hey,
thanks for your service, caller.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Catch you guys on Friday.
Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.